That's the number one thing that I've learned from when I started acting all the way in 2003 to now, where you kind of can't pigeonhole yourself. So, like, if there's stuff that you enjoy that brings you joy, and you can use the tools to put in your bag as you make yourself a more well-rounded, complete entertainer in whatever way you want to be one, take it. And if it doesn't serve you, stop. Like, I think that is the number one thing. If it doesn't serve you, fucking stop. If you're bored with it or you don't like it, don't do it. You don't need it.
Well, speaking of everything being connected, that's a very Jason Mraz kind of saying. So
Ooh, hell yeah.
let's start the episode. Click.
Remember that record that you bought me like 2 years ago? Well, I just remembered that it's sitting in the closet. So I called you up just to tell you I've been meaning to listen to that. I've been meaning to listen to that. Why don't you come over and talk about it? Ooh. You come over and talk about it.
Andrew, you are in rare form today. I can take it from here if we want.
Yeah, please, 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 please.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Jukies. I know that we're talking today about an artist you kind of brought to us, an artist that you wanted to feature, Jason Mraz. Do you want to tell us a little bit
Hell
about your
yeah.
history with Jason? As you know,
Oh,
as true
listen,
heads
y'all,
call him
Jason.
Jason.
Oh,
Oh
really
yeah,
quickly.
well, you know, us true heads call him Jason. Even truer heads, we're Mraz heads.
Mrazers.
No, we're
Isn't
Razzers,
that a
baby.
porn
We
company?
Mr. A to
Yeah,
Z.
Mraz. Completely naked except a
Everyone wears a
fedora.
fedora while they're fucking. Yeah,
Yeah.
except the fedora, unless the fedora is on your dick. But no,
Yeah, I'm uncut.
I love Jason Mraz. The first Jason Mraz song I remember knowing, even though I didn't know it was him, and wasn't like I'm a fan of Jason Mraz, was Remedy, and like a lot of those songs in that time frame when they came out. So like if you worked retail or went in any store or anything like that, shit like Remedy, Jason Mraz was a very popular person or artist to hit the department store circuit. Like, so if you're in stores and shit, like growing up, I was a teenager at that time, so you go to a lot of malls and shit like that, you're hearing a lot of this music that he's on. And it's always, look, that's the reason why they play that music, that type of music in stores, is because it's easy listening. It's just like it soothes the soul without you knowing you're actually listening to music. I remember in 08 when I like start falling in love with Jason Mraz, I was at Key Lime Cove with a girlfriend at the time. And Key Lime Cove, Andrew, you may can go to Key Lime Cove. It's up there near Chicago. It's a water park resort. So it's a resort that you stay in, and like it's a water park. So it's a water park all through the hotel, and you also stay there and shit.
Sounds sick.
So we went to Key Lime Cove. And we are in the lazy river. And like, I heard this song a lot, like a few times and enjoyed it. But like, I'm chilling. I'm in a lazy river. I'm feeling good. Probably had a drink in me. And I'm Yours came on, right? Which is like the song that most people
Yeah, of
really
course.
know Jason Mraz for, in that album. And I was just like, this is a good fucking song. Like, I'm going to actually learn who this artist is. I want to know who this artist is. So I went and I listened to that album. A lot of great fucking songs on that album. He's a great singer. He like his musical arrangement is really fucking good. Like he just puts together songs really well, I think. And then I listened to some of his older tracks. And he has like a style that like he'll sing some operatic shit, and then he'll go and fast pay. Like he doesn't pigeonhole himself quite a bit, although I guess people would say he does now. But so I just really started falling in love with him and listening to his albums. And then when Love Is a Four Letter Word came out, that was the first album I was like, I'm excited for a Jason Mraz album to come out, and listen to that. And I think the first track on that, which is one of the tracks I gave you guys, was Freedom Song. And like, it just started. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay. All right. And like, I was like, I love this dude. I love it. And then like, and now I defiantly love him because people are lame and be like, you like Jason Mraz? Oh, you're so lame. So like, fuck you. And I'm going to love him even more now. Like, I'm going to like shout it to the at the mountaintop. Because one, I just don't like yucking people's yums. And two, I think he makes good music. And I think a lot of times we just tend to listen to what, you know, the social media aspect of the world says and don't give a lot of these artists a chance.
He's so corny.
I mean, look, I guess so, whatever. But, you know, shit. Well, Drake is, you know, corny.
That's why they say
corny. Like,
when someone yucks, you just yum even harder, you know?
Yeah, that's what I do. But no, I love his music, man. I've seen him live. It was a great, it was one of my favorite nights of live music. He just puts on, he has a really dope connection with his audience. And the thing I love about him more, as, you know, people, you know, he's like Nickelback. People make fun of you for listening to Nickelback.
Yeah.
Right? Or some people. Jason Mraz do doesn't give a shit. Yeah, a lot. I listen, Nickelback made some hits, man. So I get it. I get it. He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't give a shit. He like is like, yo, I'm gonna make music and whatever I'm feeling is what y'all gonna get. And for those who love it, this is for you. And if you don't, don't listen to it. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that mindset to his artistry.
Have you seen that clip that goes around, that's been going around, of Lorde singing Writer in the Dark, and she keeps shushing everyone before she sings it? Because she's singing it a cappella.
No.
Like, they're old clips. They're from like when she was 19 or whatever. And she is singing this song a cappella, and the crowd is about to sing like, I am my mother. And she goes like, shh, and then sings it just herself. And is singing a cappella. And there's like montages of it, like her doing it like concert after concert after concert, like 20 times. It's become like a meme of sorts, right? And I saw a clip today of she just had a show in Chicago where she was talking about, hey, you know, this has been going around. You know, I was 19 then. I thought I was really doing something artsy, but it worked for me then. And now people are saying like, oh, she's rude. She's rude. She's just doing rude things on the internet. But now it's like, I'm here in this room. You all want to be here with me. I speak to you and you hear that. You're not people on the internet. You know, like, I don't really like Lorde's new album. And I think the internet really thinks that, but people at the show are going to like Lorde's new album. You know what I mean? And are there for her. Yeah. And I'm like, and she's like, you all are here for me. I'm not going to shush you. Let's all sing it. You know? And that was kind of her like,
wow. Yeah.
I felt like she took that really in stride. And it's like, you can be corny to other people, but who cares? You know, like it's your thing.
Yeah.
Live your life. Don't let other people live it for you.
There's also like the, Patton Oswalt joke where you know, and also like Shane Torres has this joke too about like how people like shit on guys like Nickelback and stuff like that, and then Patton's like, back when I was 20 I used to like hate Nickelback. I was like so mad at them, like these fucking guys, but then like as I got older I realized, well, they're just doing this for like money and pussy. So like, and there are way worse things you could do for money and pussy. So it's like, yeah. And it's just like, to get into like my preconceived notions about Jason Mraz a little bit. He was definitely one of those guys that fall into that category, that subsect of musicians, like that are easy punching bags, basically like Ed Sheeran and Nickelback and Chainsmokers or whatever. But like, and they're all like varying levels of talent and stuff like that.
But
like the idea of just like, so, and like, I feel what you feel about the defiance, the fact that the internet is like, these fucking guys suck. I'm like, even if I don't love their stuff, even if I'm not like in love with them, I still kind of feel like a, like, well, I'm gonna like it anyway. I'm gonna like it despite, basically. Yeah,
that's how I feel now. I mean, I really don't give a shit at the core. Like, I'm gonna listen to what I want to listen to. But I do, and I also just think, like, you know, for Jason Mraz in particular, I don't think he sucks. I think he makes good fucking songs. I think, like, I told people, I could make you a 20-track Jason Mraz album with some of his best tracks, and you would sit down and listen to it, and maybe you won't like it. That's fair if you don't. I don't care if you don't. But you're not going to deny that he's not, like, talented. And, yes, like, you know, there's some things that or that he doesn't make good. He doesn't know how to make a song, or he can't sing, and he's not a good musician and artist. I don't fucking like Madonna, but, like, but I'm not going to deny that Madonna is a legend in the game, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of people the sound waves of what they make don't hit my soul the right way, but like I can recognize they are good at what they do and like they have value as an artist. And that's how I view Jason Mraz. Even if you don't like him, even if you think like, this genre of music isn't for me, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Like you're not going to listen to like a lot of his best shit and be like, this dude is trash. He don't know how to make music. He's not good. He's not talented. Like you're not. And if you are, then I think you're just stupid.
You're just looking willfully obtuse and stuff like that. Just looking like you're so committed.
Yeah, I think you're just being. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What about Michael? What's your like? What are your preconceived notions about Jason Mraz?
Literally, I think of Jason Mraz, and all I ever think of is that like that album cover of like I'm Yours, like the fedora, the like hand drawn thing, and I'm like, okay, 2008's Colin, like, I'm probably not going to be picking up, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of my preconceived notions of Jason Mraz. I could not believe, you know, in preparing for this podcast, he came out with an album this year. I was like,
yeah,
you know, and I kind of get him confused with Mike Posner as well. You know, it's like Colby Calais, Mike Posner. They were all very popular for a certain period of time, and I think I just didn't stay with them.
It's funny though, because you know, I'm Yours, which came out on the We Sing, We Dance, We Steal Things album. Obviously, it's the single, it's the one that got him the Grammy. It's the pop hit of the album. Mm-hmm. But that album in itself is probably one of his best albums, like top to bottom. Just hits that. I mean, and also Lucky was on that. Lucky, I actually don't like Lucky. I mean, it's okay. Lucky, I'm in love. Like, it's cool. It's cute. But even I'm Yours, I don't listen to the original track of it anymore. I listen to a couple live versions of it. Like, if it pops on, like, my Spotify or something, like, the shit I have saved in playlists are, like, the live versions because they're just so pop, not poppy, but they are, you know, like he has better shit even on that album and better arrangements and better stuff like that. But that album has some good ass tracks on it. So it's even like funny when I hear someone bring up I'm Yours and equate that to like the album, because I like that was the first album where I was like, I'm going to listen to this dude like top to bottom. It's just like, man, even if you just listen to that album, you'll probably like a lot of people would probably have a different view even of that era of Jason Mraz, the 2008 era of Jason Mraz.
So, yeah, let's not waste any more time. Let's get straight into this playlist that you prepared for us. I'm really excited to talk about it. You know, pass you the aux cord. What's this first song?
I want to start with, like I say, a freedom song. On the
beach, yeah, it makes me feel calm. When I'm calm, I feel good.
Is the first track off of Love is a Four-Letter Word. And like, you know, I think it is the perfect opening track to an album. Cause the song kind of has everything, right? It starts off with just his voice. And like, you know, saying some really nice stuff, you know, so calling you beautiful and things like that. And then the beat drops in and you're like, okay, burp, burp. And then he hits that the horns come in and you're just kind of vibing. It's a good vibe song. And then about 2 minutes into the song, like he finally gets to the chorus of the song. And we give you freedom. And it's just like,
yeah, yeah,
the thing I love about Jason Mraz, because I know him, is like he has a lot of he takes a lot of inspiration from gospel music and reggae music, which I think is, but he doesn't do it in a way that's like making fun of it or this white dude. Well, he does have a couple tracks where he's like, all right, Jason, calm down. But for the most part, like, you know, he'll have choirs in his song and shit and stuff. Right. Which would be very fucking dope, actually.
I joke, but like,
I would love that.
Who can do it, though?
I would love that. That shit would be dope.
Mandisa's not doing anything. Kirk Franklin jumps on.
You can get, yeah, yeah. Like, you can't. I remember I played this. I was a tour guide in L.A. I was on the Rasta bus. And I got to, when you take over the bus, you can use your own playlist. And my first tour, I had a driver who was like a vet in the company. And I was given the tour, my playlist. I put Freedom Song on there. And like, he was like bobbing his head. He was like, yo, what is this? He's like, ooh, them horns. And then when it was over, he was like, man, that shit was dope. Like, and I was like, yeah, man. Yeah. Because if you hear it without knowing it's Jason Mraz, you probably, that's another thing I hate about some people. You like, if you hear a song and just like listen to it, you're like, okay. But if I tell you this is a Jason Mraz song, you're automatically ringing
you
your
preconceived like, you got Mraz, yeah, baby. Yeah, yeah. Like,
you know, yeah, you got Mraz, baby. So yeah, Freedom Song, I think, is one of my favorite Jason Mraz songs because I think it is just a really good intro into, yeah, this dude probably makes more things than you realize that he makes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like all these songs are so like, because when I was like, oh, a Jason Mraz 5 song playlist, okay, I thought they would kind of all be in the same realm of I'm Yours, the like sweet acoustic-y kind of song that's like really earnest and stuff like that. And Disco Sun is like, to jump forward, like not to really truly jump, but like, ooh, Disco Sun is like really experimental and weird and stuff like that, and like the sound design is really cool and Did You Get My Message is kind of like a musical theater type number. With Freedom Song, it's just like this, like I was just like listening to it and reading the lyrics, and the lyrics is just like, I've seen the sunset on the beach, it makes me feel calm, when I'm calm I feel good, when I feel good I sing. It's just like, what a nice chain of events to happen to you. I do think that, like, I don't want to, like, obviously there's like horrible things in the world, but I think there's an element of like,
no,
if you hear I know, right, it's weird, but like if you hear something like this and
name
you go,
one
like damn, you got me there, but like if you like, if someone like, you know, if you hear these lyrics and like you have an adverse reaction to it, I feel like there's an element that says something about you and like how you perceive the world that like,
yeah, because the words he's saying, the lyrics himself, it's just like, yo, man, like, it's okay to be happy, bro. Like, and it's okay to be happy, it's okay, but he does, but it's not like his occulty happiness, like he's just, you know, I think he writes good lyrics, but he also will just write some shit like, I feel good right now, man. I feel great. Yeah, and you know what, I feel free. I feel free because I feel good. That's dope. Isn't that what we all in our fucking, you know, chest thumping of care about mental illness, like, want for each other and ourselves? Like, we preach all this shit all the time. And, man, you just want to feel good. You want to enjoy life. But then you hear a song that's like, man, I enjoy life. Man, that shit corny. Man, shut the fuck up. Like, shut up. Like, all right. Yeah, that's... Yeah. You could probably tell that I get very annoyed when I hear people
give like uncharitable reads of this stuff. Like,
uncharitable reads of not just Jason Mraz, but like a lot of things.
Yeah.
So
it's like, well, you know, like it's easy to like go viral panning something than it is to go viral like praising something. You know what I mean?
Very true.
The world consumes negativity easily.
I think they literally.
And I'm not. Perfect. I do too.
To keep it in mind. Try to the Ted Lassoification of our society. You know what I mean? Try to be a little nicer.
Yeah. What about you, Michael? What are your thoughts on Freedom Song, basically?
I like this one a lot. This is I hate to like say it. This is my favorite of the five songs that you did put here. I think it's really fun. At the intro, I'm like, and immediately I was like, ooh, what's this song gonna be? You know, and it just built and built, and it was so fun. I was smiling listening to it. So
yeah. You know?
Did what you said. as promised.
Yeah, it's a great opening track to an album, because it's just like, oh, what is this? Mm-hmm. And then you like, all right, I like this. And then it hits another level. You're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And then it hits that last level. You're like, oh, shit. All right. Really, and then the horns just go off.
He's really excellent in just like crafting a song. Like, it's like you were saying, he knows what he's doing. Like, even if you don't like, if it's not your thing, that's one thing. But you can't deny he doesn't know how to like craft a song. The last thing I want to say about this song that I really like resonated with me is the idea of like, so what is like the freedom song? Like, what does that actually mean? It's like the idea of feeling good and then singing about feeling good, basically. So like, mm-hmm. not only feeling good, but expressing that you feel good, because people can like feel good and then just like keep like the way culture is set up. It's like, you get like a day to like share a good thing that happened to you, and then you get to like, you have to keep it to yourself. Otherwise you're like annoying or cloying or something like that. But like the freedom to go, yo, I feel awesome. And like, I'm going to like shout it to the mountaintops. Like, I think that's like a really, which like, and then the turn of phrase, like, and the joy it brings, like, there's no other way to feel good. Like, this is the, like, I'm not even thinking about the other possibilities of how I can feel good. I'm just happy with what I have. I think that's really sweet.
Yeah, it's very sweet. It's really sweet. And I think it is, you know, I think a song with these lyrics and this mindset is probably a little more indicative into where we are today in society. Well, not everybody, but, you know, generally people who view the world the same way we do. You know, like if somebody writes a tweet saying, man, you know what? I'm just really happy right now. I'm really happy. Like, things are going great.
Blah, happy on Elon Musk's Twitter.
Where's the down button?
Right, I know. Where's the down button? But if somebody, if it's the first time somebody writes it, then that shit will get like a lot of likes. And then, but if somebody, like you said, if somebody keep writing it, like, all right, bro, we get it.
Guess what, guys? I don't know what. Yeah. Still happy.
I mean, also, we also get tired of things. I think we listen to music. I forget how old you guys are, but like, I'm 35, so like I'm halfway in like our, you know, current generation, but I also still very much remember, you know, I grew up in our parents' generation. So, you know, I remember like we used to live with albums and songs like way more than we do now, right? Like, we wouldn't get annoyed with songs as much as we do now. I think a big reason is just because they weren't easy to come by. So if you got to hear a song three times in the day, hell yeah. Like, I love this, especially if you liked it. Like, yeah, I like that shit. Great. Yeah, like, because I don't know when the next time I'm going to hear this shit. You know, like, you know, we would live with albums, we would give albums a chance to breathe, and we wouldn't listen to an album for the first time and then say, this is a classic. Like, you know,
to albums anywhere, anytime. When I wanted to bring an album with me, even like in middle school, I had to have a CD, you know, like, sorry, I don't mean to make myself seem super young, but I had to have like a CD and a little portable CD player. I had to have batteries. I had to decide like, okay, how much do I want to listen to? Because it's going to be a 3-hour car ride one way each. So, and I only have two sets of batteries. So, which album do I listen to? What do I pick? Yeah.
Meanwhile, back in my day, like, I had an iPhone Touch and it had like 32 gigs. Like, oh boy.
Andrew is 8 years old. Yes.
I mean, yo, listen, man, that I loved when the iPod came out. It was fantastic. But I remember even having, I had a cassette player, man, I had a Walkman. When I was a kid, and you know, like the whole, I mean, this isn't anything new, all old people say this, but man, I remember when we used to have to sit by the radio and wait for the song to come on and shit. Boy, I would listen to that, I would listen to mixtapes I made like that until they were fucking, until the dual tape would break.
Wow.
Yeah, that shit was dope, man, because you know, you don't get a chance to hear those songs. So I think a lot of that too is just where we are as a society. We're very 24-hour news cycle-ish. Every, you know, new story a day, new thing a day. An album comes out, it's fantastic, and in 8 months we don't hear nothing about it anymore. Like, yeah. That used to not be the case.
Yeah, like
when we were younger,
especially like Netflix and stuff like that. Like Squid Game, you get to talk about for a week, and then like, well, that's enough of that.
It's over.
Like, it's over. Piece of art that someone worked on for like multiple years.
Like, that's not like me. I stand against that. That's why I talk about Umbrella Academy as often as possible.
Yeah, I think it's dope. Why not? Yeah, like, kind of, should, like we're...
I still tweet like I can't believe Rue did that like every like week on Twitter.
But you're talking about the Hunger Games.
Yeah. I watch that movie every week on my cassette player. So
you should.
So let's move on to the next song.
At her best.
So let's move on to the next song. What's this next song you want to talk about?
You brought it up. I got to talk about it. Disco Sun.
Your solar systematics guiding how we all roll, the direction of the light show. Music has it.
As somebody who knows Jason Mraz's discography.
Oh, you keep like saying that, like as someone who knows Jason Mraz's discography. Yeah.
As a close personal friend to Jason Mraz's discography.
As a close personal friend of Jason Mraz, as somebody who tells him personally that this is a good song or not.
Thumbs up in the studio.
When I heard Disco Sun for the first time, I had the same reaction that you did, Andrew. Like, oh, this is different. Like, this is very different. Like, even the way it starts off, like he doesn't say a word for the first minute of the song, right? It's just a boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom. So it's just like getting you into the mood. You're like, okay, what is this? What is this? And then like just the sultry. He's singing about drugs and sex, basically, the entire song. But like the sultry way he gets into it, and then he gets into that like chorus. Winter, spring, summer, too, in love. Like, I'm just like, this is such a good fucking song, man. Like, it is so different. I think Raining Jane is the group singing it with him, who he made an entire album with. He used to make albums. His like backup singer used to be a dude called Toca Rivera, and then for the album Yes, him and Toca are still cool, but he was like, there's this band that I love who isn't getting play, I'm gonna make an entire fucking album with them. And Yes is all his shit, but they sing all the background vocals on that album. And that's who sings on this. Raining Jane sings on Disco Sun. So, and they, you know, they're great. They're a great band. They sound great. They got a really dope sound. They use different instruments. So that's why the instruments in the albums in this song sound really dope. They use they'll use like a cheese grater with a fork and like just like scrape it a little bit. Yeah. And like that'll be some of like the musical elements they do. This song is super experimental, but I think it is super experimental in a good way, where you listen to it and by the time you get to the end of it, you're like, that was actually a really good fucking song. And you know, who doesn't love drugs, man? I love me some drugs. I love weed. I love shrooms. He loves weed. He loves shrooms. He smokes weed a lot. He does shrooms a lot. And he talks about it in a way it's like we all should. like a lot of shit Jason Mraz talks about, we all agree with. We all always talk about, yeah, man.
Not me. I went through the DARE program.
It's I mean,
everybody is so banned, you know.
Yeah. This podcast is brought to you by DARE. Like, this is the only podcast they advertise on.
Well, you know, listen, Nancy Reagan was my hero growing up, so I get it. I get it.
Yeah. Use
the
code
throat
snitch,
the throat goat
snitch.
Nancy Reagan.
Use code SNITCH20 at checkout.
This is the song that kind of like resonated the least with me. I really just appreciate the ambition. And of course, it's like, I love the positive imagery. I love just like your flower, turn your power on. Like, it's like, again, it's like kind of the buy-in factor. It's like, if you're willing to buy into this, if you're willing to like overlook all this stuff you've been told about Jason Mraz and like liking him as corny, or like any of that stuff, then it's nice and pleasant, and like the background singers are great. Like,
I got tricked by the name of this song. I thought I was about to get some 80s style Jason Mraz synth influence. I was like, Disco Sun, what is this gonna be? And then it started off like dunk
Yeah.
Whoa. Very slow. And I was like, oh no. And I think that maybe soiled my image for a second. It wasn't what I was expecting.
I like his rap singing.
You gotta stop. You gotta stop going into songs expecting a whole damn track just by the title.
Maybe don't name the track like that then. Hey. Leave the track title blank until I finish it. That's what they do.
And then let everybody write their own title to the track after.
Yeah, and then it's like Wordle, and it tells me how many letters up in the right spot.
You know what? I think you're on to something, man.
I would never get this one. This one would be
impossible. Gonna change the game. This is gonna change the music industry.
Yeah.
Musel.
Okay. Any other thoughts on Disco Sun before we move on to the next track?
None from
me. No. It's one of my favorite more recent of his tracks. It's not on an album. It's just a track that he just dropped, a single he just dropped. Which is a thing now, I guess, for a lot of artists. They just drop singles without an album attached to, or without it is going to be on an album. Well, I guess it's not a new thing. People used to do that back in the day. And the reason I put it on this is because I do think it is a different song than most people would think would come from a Jason Mraz.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's move on to the next song. What do you got? What would you like to play for us?
Let's do a beautiful mess. Beautiful Ooh. Mess.
You got the best of both worlds. You're the kind of girl who can take down a man and lift him back.
This one was my favorite one. This is beautiful.
A beautiful mess is beautiful. It is. It is right there in the title. It is truly a beautiful song. You know, it's like picking up trash with the dress on, you know, like it's just so much shit that he's saying in this. It's just like, damn, just the opposites throughout this entire track are very well written. Like the lyrics, you know, because A Beautiful Mess are two opposing, you know, adjectives. Is that right? Beautiful and mess are messy. Like it's a beautiful, messy thing. Those are two opposing things.
Yeah.
And so this song just goes back and forth between that. And I think it's the actual like music is beautiful. His vocal quality throughout the song is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It is just one of my favorite songs just to like sit down and listen to. And like when you're driving in the car at night, and you just this song comes on and you just like, what a beautiful mess this is, because all of our lives are a beautiful mess, you know, like I think that is true for most people. You can find the beauty in the mess, right? And there's messy and beauty too. And this is a really good song that indicates that.
It would be the perfect driving at night song. Totally. Windows down, summer night.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's really I think, like you said, it's a really beautiful song.
It's very romantic, but it's also like romantic in a way that's like kind of grounded in some realism. I think in a way I think is really awesome. Mm-hmm. Because and the conclusion he comes to is here we are. Just here we are. Like right now, mm-hmm. this moment, I love you not in spite of, but because of your imperfections, of your contradictions, of all of that stuff. The internal rhymes in the chorus are really awesome. Like, kind of hurts the kind of words that like him rhyming like kind of turns of kind and courteous. Like, it's really cool. Like, it's like, and the way it like builds to that falsetto like chorus with like the choir saying, here we are, is like, it's really sweet.
Yeah.
It's like, and that's just all we like kind of really want. It's just like to say that to someone and for that to be said to us, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. I think to your point, you know, that is a true relationship. You know, mm-hmm. when you fall in love with somebody, you're not falling in love with a perfect person. You have to fall in love with the imperfect person, mm-hmm. you know, or else it'll never work. Right. And I think like this song really talks about that in a really beautiful way. And just like the way he rhymes is very Jay-Z Eminem-ish. And I'm not saying like, you know, he has those type of lyrics, but it's very like especially Eminem, where Eminem will rhyme words that you don't think necessarily rhyme together.
He rhymes like door hinge with orange, where it's like,
yeah. And Jay-Z does that quite a bit as well. And like, you know,
that's what Jay-Z stands for, is Jason Mraz.
That is.
Whoa, I'm glad. Mr. A to Z.
I was going to save that for the end of the podcast. You know, but I'm okay with it being my surprise being ruined. I want to hear what Michael thinks. About the song.
I liked it. I thought this was really great. I really like the chorusy kind of feel of the like the chorus feels very like powerful and moving, especially as it gets to the end of the song. I really I was moved by this song. I really liked it. I think the way you set up the playlist, really going from Beautiful Mess into Freedom Song was the order I listened to it in. And really like got me, because I was like, okay, that was good. And then I was like, that. And then Freedom Song was so fun. I was like,
Back up. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I'm not going to lie. I don't remember how I put together the playlist. But
no, that's okay. I'm doing a little bit behind and too much in the weeds, because I'm like, talking about that on the podcast in that order. But for my listening experience was that order. And it worked well, even if it wasn't your intention.
And Beautiful Mess is probably that and Live High, which I went back and forth between those two songs. Because what I did was I picked a song from, like, not each album, but I picked one song per album. And Beautiful Mess is on the We Sing, We Dance, We Steal Things album, which is the album that I'm Yours is on.
Yep. Every time I look at the album, I want to listen to I'm Yours. That's what I keep thinking.
Well, now, maybe you'll want to listen to it as a Beautiful Mess.
No, you know? I will.
Maybe that's
will.
What it, oh, like. Oh. Yeah.
It's starting to break my sense. This is my favorite song. This album cover. It's your favorite song of his? This is number one?
It is one of my favorite songs of his. Yeah. And it's my favorite song on this album. Probably by far.
It would work as a wedding song, but it's also like too earnest to be a wedding song at the same time. It's like, I don't know.
It's a little too honest. Good wedding is supposed to have a little hint of lie.
Exactly.
A wedding is supposed to have a little hint of lie. Like, I'll love you till death do us part. You lying. You're lying right there. Like, the vows themselves are a lie.
So, that's why the only good wedding song is Duel of the Fates. And the couple has to light through her fight.
The way I would describe the song, like, this is the last thing I'll say about the song. Like, the way I'd describe the song is, like, deeply satisfying, ultimately. First of all, just the construction of the song is really satisfying. Like, the builds to the crescendo. And then the idea of just, like, him going, like, the wait was worth it at the end, basically. And that's probably just like, I think just like, it's really beautiful to like put a specific feeling into a song like this. But yeah, let's move on to the next song. Let's keep it moving, keep it pushing. What do you want to talk about next?
This is one of my personal faves. I always play this with people not knowing what they'll think of it. But I love it, especially the end of the song. But did you get my message?
Message, the one I left while I was trying to condense everything that I meant in a minute or less when I called.
I think, and this song came out all the way in like 2003 or some shit. So it's an old, it came out in the early 2000s. So it's an early Jason Mraz song that I still think is relevant today as far as did you get my message,
so
right?
Yeah.
Because we still have this same, and that's fair. That's kind of when like the whole like texting everybody and leaving voicemails on in the cell phone era was really starting to boom, was around that time frame. And it's so funny how we haven't really gone, we've changed the way we give our messages, but we haven't really gone away from like, you know, did somebody leave me on read, or did they get it? Are they not responding? Yeah. Like, did they not hear it? Or did they, like, it's just such a resonant song for,
this is absolutely like a TikTok smash if like it came out today, basically.
Yeah. Totally. Did you get my message?
Yeah.
Ooh, Like, yeah, like it's just, it's such a resonant song. So I love it for that reason. I also just love the last 45 seconds of the song because it completely changes.
Like, it completely turns into a, like...
yeah, it completely turns into this like really like light up, not a beat, because, you know, he's saying like, did you get my message or are you ignoring me? But like, it's really light,
poppy, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. And then it turns into this like operatic, like fucking like, what the fuck, Jason? Okay. All right. I didn't know that was coming out of you at the end. And I think that's another reason why I love it, too, is because I think it shows off his vocals in a very surprising way.
I really like the name of this album that it's from, Mr. A to Z, and it's Mraz.
Genius. Okay. Wait, what are you talking about?
Like, the name of the album is Mr. A to Z.
Oh, okay, I knew.
Wait, Andrew, so you know how his last name is Mraz?
Uh-huh.
And then Mr.?
Yeah.
As?
Mr. Ass? Oh, wow.
Mr. Ass.
He said Mr. Ass.
A to Z.
Yeah.
You know, also, like, the thing I realized about these songs is, like, he's a guy who doesn't seem to take himself, like, so seriously. Like, these are, like, these are songs he wants to write because either he wants to express, like, love and, like, positivity, or just, like, hey, I want to play around, or, like, I want to, like, make a song that's, like, about shrooms that's fun, or, like, I want or something along those lines. It's like, he's not like, I'm so tortured! Like, I have to...
Yeah.
Make art, otherwise I'll like die or whatever. Like, it's like, it's just like, and like, there's like probably like, some resistance to that, like a little bit, for like folks. Yeah. What about Michael? Do you have any thoughts on this? Any other thoughts on this song?
I liked it. It felt very, I think Andrew said this earlier, very musical theatery. It was very like, kind of, felt like,
with a female singer too.
Yeah. And when I first actually listened to it, I was like, wow, I guess I really don't know what Jason Mraz's singing voice sounds like. And then it was like, oh, there's like, you know,
there's two of them on this song.
Yeah, there's two people.
Yeah.
But I think it works really well.
It's funny that you guys say it's a little musical theatery, because I've actually seen Jason Mraz on Broadway.
Oh, shit, right. He played Jesus, right? Like,
no, he was he played the male role in Waitress, the Sarah.
Oh, Mraz. That's right.
But just for a limited time. I don't really remember the musical because I didn't love it. But like,
there's like there's like a person she cheats on with, and like there's like also like an abusive husband or something like that.
No, the person she cheats on.
Got it. Okay, that makes more sense. That's like, yeah.
Yeah, he was the nice one that she wanted to be with or some shit. Yeah. I just went to go see it because I was in New York and like.
And you're a close personal friend of Jason Mraz.
I'm a close personal friend.
You gotta support the arts. You gotta support your buddies.
Gotta support my man, you know? Gotta support my personal friend.
It is a little harsh of you to say you didn't love the musical that your close personal friend was in.
Hey, you know, if you're good,
you know
what?
He didn't write it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but his close personal friend Sarah Bareilles, I think, did. So
I don't think she wrote it either. I think
she wrote the songs, like, for sure.
Did she? Because it's a movie, right?
Yes, but like, it's like a movie, and then she wrote the song.
Oh, so the movie was not a musical? See, I don't know about it. I just went to go see it because he was in it. I would have never gone to see it. It was a good time. I was in New York. I saw Jason Mraz. I was happy. So it was a good experience, but I could not tell you what it was about.
I saw Jason Mraz. I was happy. I had to sing.
It gives me freedom.
Hey, you know, like, he lives in New York. You live in LA. It's good to see your Liz. It's good to see your friends.
Yeah.
I think, like, I just love the like, we'll wrap up soon. Like, we'll, like, kind of, like, I know, like, I want to be respectful of your time.
I'm good.
Okay, two more hours. Like,
no, not that good.
we're not Jason Mraz and me close. but like, the idea of like, what happens in between me delivering the message and, you know, does it like get rearranged? Does it like, does what happens in between that when they receive it, it gets misunderstood? I think that's such a specific feeling. That first of all, it's awesome that one he put into words, but then two put into a song. I think that rules.
Yeah. It's really dope because it's still relevant. Like we keep saying, it's still, again, he wrote this, you know, 2003, 2005, you know, when messaging was really taken off, and we still like kind of have these same feelings in 2022 when it comes to communication, in the very instant like communication that we want, as a society now. That was not a thing, you know, 3 years prior to when he wrote this song.
Yeah, so, like write a letter and then like put it in an envelope and then have a mailman deliver it. Like, oh boy.
Yeah, the worst.
And then the other thing I like about this song is the notion of like it just relieving my panic attacks, relieving my like stress when you receive the message. It's like, because that's like that's mm-hmm. what it like it's that's what it's become these days. It's just like, if you don't respond in an hour, I think, oh shit, they hate me. Oh shit, like I said something horrible. Yeah. Maybe I misworded something. And then you text them again and you're like, oh, I didn't mean it like that. Like, it's just like, it's, and then just like, yeah. But then also like when they text you back and said, hey, sorry, I left my phone in a cabinet or whatever, it doesn't like make you go,
yeah.
Oh, it just
then I'll be like, you left your phone in a cabinet. I don't want to talk to you no more.
Like, that's clearly a lie. Like, but like the idea of just like,
yeah, you lying.
But it doesn't like give you like euphoria anymore. It just gives you like, just now you're back to normal. Now you're just like back in a non-stressed level anymore, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
iPhones, what they're doing to our culture. Oh, makes you think.
They're ruining us. And only Jason has the answers, everybody.
Man, this is awesome. Like, just like truly though, like I didn't know I needed a song about this. Like, and like, there's no way it would have like gone across to me if there wasn't this playlist. And like, yeah, it's awesome.
Cool.
All right. So then we got Shine. The last song we'll talk about here.
Once upon a time, there was a meeting of minds. The sun and the moon made a deal with the sky. One would take the morning and the other the night.
Yeah. So, what are your thoughts on this one?
Shine. I'll listen to Shine sometimes and actually like get emotional. And I think Shine is gorgeous. You know, it also kind of plays, you know, because I said he has gospel inspirations, or, you know, in his music. So like, the end of the song is very much an inspiration on this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine, which is a gospel song. And so that's the whole, I'm going to let it shine. Like, that's just so, you know, I grew up on that song. So it was it's very cool to hear it put into like a song like this. And yeah, just the lyrics, you know, once upon a time, there was a meeting of mine, the sun and the moon, they made a deal with the sky. Like, the lyrics are a little weird, but I think it is a very beautiful take on just, you know, agreement and letting like your best self like show through, and you know, hey, or even like in a relationship, like the sun and the moon, like, hey, you know what, where you're weak, I'll be strong for you, and where I'm strong, you'll be like, and where I'm strong, you know, like that thing. I think that's what that meant to me. It is one of my favorite songs that he's made. That is also not a single, but that just spoke to me. I don't know if it was just the time, you know, where I was in my life or when I heard it, but I was just like, you know what? I am going to let it shine. I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to be me. I'm going to unapologetically be myself. And I know I have something to offer, like a single person or my community, or the world as an entertainer, and all these, or it's just a person, like I know I do. And I'm Gonna Let It Shine. I love it a lot. And it's one song that, you know, another song kind of like Did You Get My Message, where I was like, you know, I don't know how people will receive this, but it would be untrue of me to not add this to the track based on what the song means to me. So yeah, one of my favorites.
I really liked it. I was surprised by it. I was surprised by the like long introduction on the song. It kind of was, it reminded me of like kind of a like a movie soundtrack song or something you would hear in like a video game, maybe, because it's so like wide. The soundscape is very wide in this song.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I really, he's a much better vocal performer than I expected him to be from the like few things I'd heard of him. Is that this is one of those songs that really, I think, shone, you know, not to put too much on it, but I felt like it's, you know, his delivery of everything is so great. The instrumentation is so interesting and varied and just sparse enough that I'm like ready for whatever's coming next. What about you, Andrew?
Like when I first heard it, and I was still like kind of like unlearning my biases or whatever. when I was like still like unlearning and stuff like that, and like when I heard the sitars and when I heard "Once Upon the Time, the Moon and the Sun," like I was like, like a little just like in my gut reaction. Like I actually like my favorite like the way I got introduced to you as like a concept, like on like a podcast, was the Punch Up the Jam episode where you talked about "I'm Yours" and stuff like that. And Mia, I listened to that yesterday. I re-listened to that yesterday. It's like incredible. It's like so delightful. But like Miel kept talking about like, I keep having this physical reaction to like some of it, like the idea of like him going or whatever. In my memory, I thought it was like kind of a mean-spirited episode where like the two of them were like dunking on it the entire time. But when I listened to it, re-listened to it yesterday, it's like at the end of it, they were just like singing it. Like they're like, and that's just kind of the effect that it had on me of just like over time, it just like won me over. Really. Yeah. And by the time we got to the second song, I was like super on board. Yeah, I like the metaphor is really cute. It's like creative and stuff like that. It's the idea of like, I will provide you luminescence and warmth like the sun shines on the moon. And that's just what good partners and good friends do for each other, like ideally in an ideal world. So I think it's lovely.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And I think that's fair. I think it's fair for a song to grow on you, or not even like, oh, now I'm going to listen to this, I'm going to buy this dude albums or things like, but just like the appreciation of a track. For instance, like Mac Miller, somebody who I hated when he first came out, hated him. I'm just like, I don't like this dude. Like he's weird. I don't get him. And then, you know, you just keep hearing songs and like you're like the appreciation of like what he was doing and then the respect that he was
getting from
other artists also goes a long fucking way, you know. And you know, it's funny because Maroon 5, who's another their early shit. I don't like any of their new shit, but their early shit I loved.
Hater.
I know. I'm a hater.
You didn't like that randomly they had Megan Thee Stallion feature on one of their songs.
You know, I mean, you know, it's just you know, I'll go listen to songs about Jane and rock out. But the album that I really think turned them for me, and I even though I like this album, it was just when they just became very pop and kind of left, you know, the sound that they started. Was the album that had Moves Like Jagger on it.
Yep.
Which was a song that was originally written for Jason Mraz. The person who wrote that wanted to give it to Jason Mraz. And Jason was like, no,
I don't want that.
And so they wrote another song together. I forgot what it was, but it's on the same album that Shine is on. They wrote another song. I need to go look it up. But like, and it's just like, oh, Like, people want to, like, make music with this dude. He just refuses to, like, no, I'm good. I'm gonna do my thing. Like, I don't have to go pop. I don't have to do collaborations or things like that. If I want to work with you, I will, but I don't have to. So he has, like, the respect of people within the music industry, especially songwriters, because a lot of songwriters like to write music with him.
The universe where Jason Mraz sings Moves Like Jagger is, like, off the screen. It's like so far away. It's unbelievably far away. I can't believe it. Stupid.
I wonder if it would have sounded the same. Like, it probably wouldn't have sounded exactly the same.
Still featuring
Chris. You got moves, yeah. The mover like Jagger. Just like
like he's got the moves like Jagger.
It's also like in the if they shot a video of Jason Mraz doing a Moves Like Jagger, like it'll involve a lot of shoulder shimmying. It'll involve a lot of, like, the move where you roll the fedora off your, like, arm, like, into your hand or whatever.
He has big...
Which would have been a dope move.
He has big, like, alt casting for Glee energy, even after listening to all these songs.
Oh, 100%. 100%. 100%. Well, Moves Like Jagger came out in, like, 2010, so I think, like, this was the industry. I think... Which is why he took a long time. Like, We Sing, We Dance, We Steal Things came out in 08, and Love is a Four-Letter Word, which was his next album, came out in 2012. And I think I read an interview once or heard an interview once where he said he took that long to write, to put that album out, because the industry was really trying to get to him and, like, turn him pop.
That makes sense.
Because Moves Like Jagger came out in 2010. It just won the Grammy for I'm Yours. So the industry was like, all right, bro, we got something. Let's run with this. And he was like, I don't want to. So he, like, took a step back.
I want to, like, just kind of went away for a few years. Like, grow my avocado tree.
Kind of.
Like that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What a life.
That's exactly what he did.
Sounds nice.
That's exactly what he did. And then came back and made an album. It was like, this is the album I want to make. And I don't care if it's going to be mainstream or not. And it wasn't. But it's like, but he had the opportunity to go that route. And Maroon 5 went in instead. So.
That's awesome. That rules. So, okay. Like, so we've reached the end of the playlist. First of all, Jaquice, like, how do you feel like that you introduced us, and feelings of, like, walking through these songs like that?
Yeah, listen, I love introducing anybody to Jason Mraz. I'm a realistic person. I understand that the artist is not necessarily for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. Or I also understand that people have their ideas of some of his songs. I also understand, like, listening to a song and being like, yeah, not my guy, you know, like, I'm Yours, which 100%. Is popular, is still very much a, okay, I'm Yours. Like, I get it. I do.
That's a wedding 100% song.
100% get it. Yeah, it's a wedding song. It's an elevator song.
It's like corny, like a wedding song. Yeah. That's what I mean.
It's very corny. It's very corny. But, like, which is why I really love the Punch Up the Jam episode, when they, like, actually, like, broke it down, and, like, you start hearing their appreciation for, like, this dude can really put a song together and really sing. And, like, they start, like, when you dig into the song.
They gave in at the
end,
that's basically.
Yeah. And then I loved Miel's rendition of it as well. Yeah. So fucking beautiful. But that's kind of, I was hearing that, like, from the go when I would listen to him, you know, so... Like, when I listened to it, I was like, oh, I'm hearing a little reggae in this. And, like, oh, I'm hearing, like, I'm hearing it. I hear these things that this isn't as corny as we think it is, you know?
Yeah, like, all the rest, you know, like Ratatouille, when the rat who doesn't know how to taste food tastes food. That's us listening to Jason Mraz, and you're, like, Remy eating the cheese. Like, your brain is, like, exploding with the sounds.
Yeah, absolutely. I love introducing anybody to more Jason Mraz tracks that they probably wouldn't have otherwise listened to. So it always brings me appreciation when even somebody is just like, yo, it wasn't for me, but, like, I appreciate it. Or especially when somebody's like, I really like this song. Like, I wasn't expecting to, like, or, like, when Michael was like, his vocal quality and like, surprised me. Like, those are things that I appreciate. when you introduce somebody to an artist who has been around for over 20 years at this point, has a lot of like notions attached to his name. It's really cool that people are still willing to give things a chance. And whenever somebody gives like an artist that you like a chance, I think it's a dope thing. So I love it. I'm happy. I feel free. Yeah.
And because I feel free, I sing, and I sing because I saw the ocean at one point. Michael, like, what was like, so at the end of like, you know, listening to this playlist, like, what are your thoughts on Jason Mraz?
More positive. I don't think I'm going to continue to like seek out Jason Mraz. I might listen to the Freedom song like sometimes. That is my takeaway. I like him a little better. And I'm also going to try not to like shit on people for liking a lot more positively about, you know, just people liking artists in general. Like I preach don't yuck people's yums a lot. But, you know, when you were coming on with Jason Mraz, I was like, what does Jaquise like about Jason Mraz? Like, literally, I was like, what is happening? And I think that's like actually fun, though. Like, it's a topic of conversation. If everyone, you know, if you want to come on and talk about, I don't know, Joe Schmo that everybody else listens to.
Songs about like, Jane, okay. You know.
Yeah.
Because also, like, there's a video of, like, you, like, dancing to, like, I'm Yours. That's, like, really fun. Like, that the Punch Up the Jam, like, Instagram shared. Like,
Cool,
they played it at, like, a party or something like that.
Oh, I remember that.
I
know what you're talking about.
And, like, of course, like, that's, like, it was very funny and charming and stuff like that. But it's also, like, That was like a moment. That's like when I saw it, I was like, oh, I like this guy. I like this guy for like being, first of all, just like being secure and like what he likes. But also like there's an element of, like, you knew it was kind of silly at the same time. You weren't like taking yourself too seriously.
Oh, yeah.
And like your ego wasn't like so fragile and stuff like that. With Jason Mraz, I was. And also just like it made sense that you liked it because you're like a stone cold like chiller guy. I like this. I like this a lot. I think I'm still a little resistant, like just in like I remember listening to this playlist on the train and then you know, it's like headphones or like earbuds or whatever. Like no one actually knows what you're listening to, but like I still was feeling a little bit like they know, like they know I'm listening to this.
That's very funny. Yeah,
like, truly.
And can I hear this?
And then like
yeah,
just like what would people think when they find out I'm a Mraz freak? And there's an element of like resistance to just like being like, hey man, I'm a Mrazo or whatever. Like it's like it's still like a I'm like resistant to that idea, but I want to keep listening to it. These songs made me really happy, especially Freedom Song and Beautiful Mess and the Did You Get My Message. I'll definitely like check out the whole album, at least one, like a few of these albums, like just for fun. For my personal enjoyment. And also just like a new garnered like respect for art, like with someone like Ed Sheeran, I'm just like, well, okay, he's clearly talented, but this isn't for me and stuff like that. Like, but with Jason Mraz, I'm just like, even if I don't like a song or don't like connect with a song, there's just like a level of respect for him and his integrity and like the authenticity of just like, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to sing about. I'm not gonna let anyone, like, you know, I'm not gonna let my yum be yucked, basically. So love I had a great time. This is fantastic.
I love it, man. I love it. And you know, like any other artist, like I'm not a, like, everything Jason puts out is dope. Like, Jason got some clunker songs out there, and and these last couple albums have been, there's some good stuff on there, but like from top to bottom.
From Z to A.
From Z to A, these last two albums he's put out, I've just kind of been like, all right, like these aren't like his best albums. Love is a Four Letter Word is one of my favorite fucking albums. Yes, it's a great fucking album. We Dance, We Steal, all of them, his first four albums. Mm-hmm. His first four albums, Waiting for My Rocket to Come, Mr. A to Z, We Dance, We Sing, We Steal Things. Love is a four-letter word. And yes, so his first five albums, I can listen to those all day. I can listen to those all day, top to bottom, with very few skips, and enjoy it. So, you know, I don't get embarrassed if people know I'm listening to Jason Mraz. I'll play that shit in the car with my windows down next to a fine-ass girl and be like, I bet you I'll fuck
Well, your well. Car is wrapped in Jason Mraz album advertisement, so they're not going to be too – they'll know already.
They'll know. They'll know. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's he's one of my favorites. I do love listening to him. Especially when I just kind of want to chill out.
Yeah. Just
listen to some lyrics. Yep.
Go on a lazy river at Key Lime. Like,
honestly, it's so funny that that's what made me say, like, I want to listen to this dude. I was literally on a tube in a lazy river, just going around with like a fucking pina colada in my hand at a water park resort. it was exactly the setting.
That's the way his music is intended to be listened to.
Yeah. That image is like, and you know what?
Oh, that image you know is so what? Funny.
In that like, moment, I was so fucking happy. Like, I was so goddamn happy.
You know that Nicole Kidman ad of her walking to the theater? That's like you for Jason Mraz at the yeah. You know, even Jason Mraz feels good in a place like this.
We come to this place too. Like,
here, heartbreak feels real. Or heartbreaks feels good.
In a place like this.
I love that ad. Yeah. I love that ad.
Who it's doesn't?
So bad, and I fucking love it. I love it. It's so bad. It's good. It's like people. When I went to go see Everything Everywhere All at Once, when that ad came on, like the audience fucking cheered. Like people just like AMC has to keep this ad forever until Nicole Kidman decides she wants to do another one.
Yes, no, literally.
I think you would be like, "Oh, bring the old one back." We like that one. But it's also like. There's also a viral tweet where like Nicole Kidman, like someone literally wrote just like, oh, Nicole Kidman's monologue in The Northman or whatever. And then people thought it was AMC. it's like she's literally in a movie doing a monologue and people thought it was the AMC ad. Okay.
That's so funny.
This is fantastic. Thank you once again, Jaquise. This is such a delightful time. Anything you'd like to plug?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure when this is coming out, but, I am in the new season of Physical, on what? Apple TV. With
That's Goldberg. So exciting.
Season two, I'll be in some episodes. So check that out.
Oh,
I think that was going to be fun. By the time this comes out, I think it should already be dropped, on Apple TV. I think they announced the second season already. Also, if you're in LA, you like comedy, come check out a show I host at the Elysian Theater called Comedian Feud, which is Family Feud with comedians. I host a Family Feud game show with the real Family Feud podium and like a real game board. It's legit. It's fucking fun. We've had people like Paul F. Tompkins versus Lauren Lapkus and Paul Scheer versus Nicole Byer, and we're doing it monthly. So come check it out if you're in LA. Get tickets. They sell out quick, but it's a good time. And also, five people in the audience get to play against the winning team between the two main captains. So you can get on stage and play with these dope-ass comedians. So, yeah, that's it. And at Jaquise Neal on everything if you want to follow me.
You can follow me at Andre Ray Lee on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow Michael at Lemon Taco on Instagram and Twitter. The show at IBMTLTT on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. You can follow Sean at I Bet a Twink. And what song would you like to play us out on, Jaquise?
You know what? I'm going to play you out on Jason Mraz's alter ego, a Jay-Z song. We'll play you out on a random song, Meet the Parents. Has nothing to do with Jason Mraz, but
I can't believe Jason Mraz cheated on Beyonce.
Believe it. How dare he? How dare he? Meet the Parents by Jay-Z. Let's ride out to that.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Song. Have a good day.
Click. I got you. Let's take. take a trip down memory lane at the cemetery. Rain, gray skies, seems at the end of every young black.